The artist understood that many stories had disappeared, and the people inhabiting buildings today oftentimes were unaware of the history that had taken place in their own neighborhood. Welcome to 10 Minute Mitzvah, episode 198, Stumbling Blocks and Stumbling Stones. I'm Meir Soloveitchik.
Rabbi Soloveitchik's year-long 10-minute mitzvah podcast is generously sponsored by Ivan and Susanna Kaufman.
It was walking in a street in Europe recently that I, along with friends, came upon a stone of brass set within the city block, its copper glint setting it apart from the gray of the stone of the street. It was from one of my friends that I began to learn about the origin of this brass square and of so many others like it that can be found in Europe. It is called a Stolpersteine, a stumbling stone, and it originated in an initiative by the artist Gunter Demnig in 1992. Demnig began setting these stones into streets, marking the site where those murdered by the Nazis had once lived. As many articles online will explain, Demnig sought to achieve a form of memorialization that was impossible with a monument or a central memorial or a museum. He wished to highlight how those murdered were rooted in homes, families, communities, linked to a locale before being cruelly, horrifically uprooted from everything that they had built before their lives were snuffed out. Demnig began this initiative in the early 90s, and now there are many thousands of these Stolpersteine around Europe. The term stumbling stone reflected Demnig's intent that people will just happen upon the stone, and suddenly its message will strike them, and they will realize with renewed understanding where they stand and engage in moral reflection. I found this thought-provoking, especially because when one hears the term stumbling block or stumbling stone, and one is used to thinking in a halachic context, in a Jewish legal framework, one immediately thinks of a mitzvah in which the term stumbling block is a negative. That mitzvah is our mitzvah for the day, and pondering the concept of stumbling stones and stumbling blocks allows us to understand not only why we must refrain from wrong, but also about one's power to make an impact. The mitzvah appears in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 14, immediately after another mitzvah that we have discussed. Following the warning, "You shall not curse the deaf," several words in Hebrew appear. "Filifnei iver lo titein michshol," before a blind person, you must not place a stumbling block. On the face of it, the prohibition is easy to understand. It is a great wrong to place a stumbling block in front of one who cannot see it. And the fact that one assumes, as the culprit, that he or she will not be caught because the victim cannot see, makes the violation all the more egregious, ethically and theologically. Yet the sages insist that there are other ethical obligations that are also to be deduced from this verse, that what is prohibited is not only a literal stumbling block, a physical act of entrapment, but also spiritual ones. Thus, to facilitate a violation of a Torah law by one who is unaware that this act is forbidden can, in certain circumstances, also bring about a violation of this prohibition. One cannot, in other words, one must not place a spiritual stumbling block in front of one who is unaware of the religious or theological consequences. In a similar sense, deliberately providing damaging advice to one who is unaware of the ill intent of the advice giver is also a violation for the rabbis of this verse. Here, the stumbling block is verbal and unethical. There are, in other words, all sorts of stumbling blocks in life, and it is our sacred obligation to ensure that we are never the one placing that pitfall, literally or figuratively, before others. To learn of the Stolpersteine is to ponder how, just as we are prohibited from creating spiritual stumbling blocks or physical ones, we are also gifted with the moral capacity to create stumbling stones, physical or otherwise, that can serve as a guide to knowledge, wisdom, and the proper path. An article on the U.S. Army website by Libby Weiler tells us a little more about the origin of these stones. Quote, each brass plate has an inscription on it, with the name and life dates, if known, of one victim of Nazi persecution, usually starting with here lived. The plates may also have their place of birth and death listed, end quote. And then we are given a quote from Demnig himself, which reads, a person is only forgotten when his name is forgotten. And then we're told a bit after. The artist understood that many stories had disappeared, and the people inhabiting buildings today oftentimes were unaware of the history that had taken place in their own neighborhood. End quote. After describing how Demnig would place the Stolpersteine, we are then informed the following. Quote, the Stolpersteine are not meant to be tombstones but memorials. They are placed into the ground on sidewalks or in front of buildings with the intent to make you stop and reflect. If you want to read such a stone, you have to automatically bow, said Demnig. They are supposed to provoke people into thinking about what happened to individuals and families during the Nazi era. End quote. To stop, to bow, to ponder. This is a stumbling stone that seeks to instruct rather than to hurt, to remember and to inspire further memory. To be familiar with the mitzvot is to see a stumbling block as an object that features in a well-known mitzvah. And indeed, that is what a stumbling block often is. But as we are commanded against placing stumbling blocks that hurt, we are meant to ponder our own moral capacity and what sort of stumbling stones of inspiration can be created, not only literally in city streets, but in the way we interact with others in our own lives. This is Meir Soloveitchik. Looking forward to learning together next week. Wishing you a Shabbat Shalom. Signing off.